The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Welcome to The Rescue Worker. This long, lifelong transformational journey of Jesus' apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. I'm so glad that you have joined us. I want to remind you about our website, therescueworker.com. That's right, therescueworker.com. There, you can have access to the medias that we post and share, all the resources that we are producing here, and even these lives, these broadcasts about the life of Jesus through the eyes of Luke. As you know, as apprentices of Jesus, we have a model that we try to follow. And the model for Jesus' apprentices is: you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. That's where we are trying to walk and live our life. That's our target goal. So to love the Lord, love our neighbor, and love ourselves. Well, as we know, we are studying the book of Luke, and every week we have a memory verse where we try to recite and memorize throughout the week. Today, we have a new memory verse. Today, we start the second week, and today we'll be studying from verses 5 to 25 from Luke chapter 1. And the memory verse for today and for this week is Luke 1:37. For the word of God will never fail. Wow, that is so powerful. Repeat after me. For the word of God will never fail. I think it's a short, sweet, but a strong and powerful memory verse for this week. And every day we'll be studying a different story of the book of Luke. And I'm praying that you'll be blessed. Yesterday, I was preparing myself, studying, reflecting, so I could share some of these thoughts with you. So I'm praying that you'll be especially blessed throughout this week. As you know, before we jump to the Bible reading and explanation and consideration, we try to give you a time for reflection, to prepare yourself to come before God's word, where we'll meet Him. And we claim and rely in a special Bible promise, Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it the most. God is always available for you and for me, and He's inviting us to come before Him. And today I'm so glad that you have joined me to come before God through the word, through prayer, and through the influence of and the impressions of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'll give you 1 minute now for you to take some time to prepare your heart, make your prayers, find a better spot where you can come before the throne of God.
Join me in prayer.
Heavenly Father, it is good to seek your presence. Come into the throne of grace to receive the blessing that you have reserved for us. Speak to our heart, Lord. Give the blessing that you have reserved for us. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, today we'll be studying verse 5 to 25. And I have decided to read with you one verse, maybe two, make some comments, and then continue the reading. I will not do all the reading in one shot. What is interesting for us before I start reading is, even though the Gospel of Luke is aimed to present the most important story of humankind, the story of Jesus, for the 31st verses, the name of Jesus does not appear. Somehow, Luke's trying to prepare the heart and the mind of those that will be reading his letter to this story. And the account of Jesus as a preparation, as introduction, it starts with the birth of John Baptist and how that was presented to humankind. So it's kind of a preparation, because we know Jesus came through a miraculous birth. And for those Gentiles and people that maybe they were not aware about how God in the Hebrew Bible had many cases where miraculous births happened, he somehow introduces one at least. What I'm sharing about the miraculous birth of Jesus is not unique. There were others, at least one, and let me show this one to you. So somehow Luke is laying down the ground to build the story of Jesus. So let's start reading verse 5. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Because Luke, he did a research, he likes to present details, and always he tries to situate us on location, timing, give some points of reference. Well, the Jewish and even the Gentile were aware about the King Herod. He was a great king. He was a king that did many expansions and buildings and constructions in Judea. Masada, that is very well known today in Israel, was built by Herod. The temple was rebuilt by Herod. He had many, many constructions going on. He was known by the time of the people there. So he says, during that time, there's a Jewish priest. He has a specific function, job. And he introduced himself, this priest, Zechariah, and his family. He comes from the line, from the priesthood lineage, since Aaron. Right? So he gives all the information, and he's married to Elizabeth, who also comes from that important family. So we're talking about here an important family, a traditional family of the Jewish people. Verse 6, Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. And here is very important information for us. First, he declares the character and their connection with God. Elizabeth and Zechariah are good people. They obey God. They do what was requested for them. Right? So he declares there's nothing wrong with them, but they don't have children. And I think that is important for us to see this construction here, because most of the time when we see a problem in someone's life, we try to connect with sin. Oh, maybe that person has a sin in their life, and that's the reason they are receiving some punishment from God, right? This idea of punishment, that God is punishing people that don't love him the way he wants to be loved, or don't serve him the way that he wants to be served. But here, Luke, first he declares, hey, there's nothing wrong with them. They are good people. They are right people. But even though they are right people, they don't have a child. And here's so important for us to understand that even though you can connect with God, obey God, you may face problems in your life. Being with God does not guarantee a life without problems. That is not the biblical theology. There is a great controversy. And this great controversy, we decided to stay on the side that goes against God, this kingdom of pain, suffering. And we live the consequences of this kingdom. So even though you may be connect with God, you may faithfully obey God, you may face problems like Elizabeth and Zechariah. And the text continue, verse 8. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. So, here's an important information. So at the time of Jesus, there were probably 20,000 priests, right? And they had kind of a schedule to serve at the temple, okay? Majority of those priests live in Jericho, right? And they would come up to Jerusalem to serve there. And when their schedule was done, they would come back to their homes. So Zechariah went to Jerusalem because it was time for his group. Among the priests, there were some tasks, and some of the tasks was decided by lot. And here what we see is Zechariah had the opportunity and the blessing to serve inside of the temple. Well, maybe one day we can have a series about the tabernacle, right? And understand this beautiful illustration and the implications for us today. But if you remember, there were at least two main spaces, right? Or three main spaces on the temple, on the tabernacle. The patio, right? And that was for the Jewish people. Gentiles could not go in. On the temple of Jerusalem, there was a patio for Gentiles, but then you have a patio, a place just for the Jewish people. And then you have the temple or the tabernacle on Moses' time, where just the priests could have access, right? So the priests could have access to the holy place every single day. But the second and the most important compartment, right? The most important room, the holy of the holiest place, just the high priest could have access once a year. So Zechariah, on that day, he was blessed to serve on the first compartment, a place that was accessible just for the priests. And he was there. And as he was serving there, and the incense represents the prayer of people, a lot of people were outside of the temple praying. So God would accept their prayers. And then the account continues, verse 11. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. So imagine, Zechariah was working inside of the temple, and then an angel appears just on the right side of the altar. And Zechariah's like is overwhelmed. How would you react if you saw an angel, And now the angel break the news. And the first words of the angel on verse 13 says, but the angel said, don't be afraid, Zachariah. You know what? We don't need to be afraid of God. God is a loving God. We don't need to be fearful of God, because when he approaches us, is to bless us. So this angel appears to Zachariah and says, don't be afraid. That was the same greeting that Daniel heard, that John, the revelator in the island of Patmos, don't be afraid. Yeah, I bring good news, right? Don't be afraid. God has heard your prayer. You see, Zachariah and Elizabeth had been praying all their lives for a child. And now the angel appears to him inside of the sanctuary saying, hey, I'm here to break the news that your prayer has been answered and you have a child. And you give your son, okay, let me repeat here. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son and you are to name him John. Hey, you have a child. That's the prayer that has been answered. And you're supposed to give him a name, the name of John. And now the angel starts describing what was this babe all about. You see, it's not just the miracle of the birth of this baby, but the mission of this baby. This baby had a very special purpose. And here I want to make clear, God has a special purpose for you in this life, in him. And you need to learn and to come close to God to understand his mission for your life. Here, for John, he declares clearly for Zechariah. And he says, starting with verse 14, you will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Wow, that is amazing. John, this baby, it is a special baby. He will be a great man, full of the Holy Spirit, and he will come as Elijah. And that is very important, because on the Hebrew Bible, we have a few promises, a few prophecies by Malachi or Isaiah, where it says that before the coming of the Messiah, the anointed one, God would send someone as Elijah to prepare a way, to prepare the way and call people to repent and receive the Messiah. So it's not just a baby that is coming, it's the fulfillment of many promises that are coming to conclusion, to fulfillment in John, on the birth of John. Can you imagine what Zachariah was feeling as he heard the news from the angel? Yes, I'll be a father, and this baby will be special. He has a special mission and purpose in life. He will be a great man. He will work and prepare the way for the Messiah. Wow. So let's see here the reaction now of Zachariah after the announcement by Gabriel. Verse 18. Zachariah said to the angel, how can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years. See what Zachariah is saying here? I don't think that is possible. Can you give me a sign that that will happen? That is somehow what the original meaning of the question of Zechariah. Here on the New Living Translation, we read, how can I be sure this will happen? On the original, we could translate, how can you give me a sign that that will happen? Zechariah is looking for a proof that somehow what the angel said to him would come to fulfillment. And here's the point. Zechariah is inside of the temple. Zechariah just saw the angel. The angel is saying, hey, I know what you have been praying for, and God came to answer your prayers. You'll be a father. You will have a baby. And gives the purpose of this baby and how important this baby will be for God's plan. So, is that not enough? Is that not enough? You see, Zechariah was familiar with the biblical stories of Abraham and Sarah, Jacob and Rachel, the birth of Samuel, Samson, of people that had difficulties of conceiving. He thought those stories. He knew those stories. But however, he couldn't believe that that could happen with him or to him. And here's a point. He was serving the Lord, having a lot of information about the Lord, but he was not able to experience, have a faith, experience a genuine faith in God. And when I looked at that story, that calls my attention, because as a pastor, I serve the Lord. I'm a pastor's kid, so I grew up on an environment of church. I decided to follow that footstep, serving the church, the body of Christ. I teach people about God. So I have information about God, but having information not necessarily means having experience with God, faith in God. And Zechariah, he didn't have that faith that would enable him to receive that blessing. And sometimes I may face the same problem. Maybe you know, intellectual, you have heard, but do you believe? Zechariah, he was doubtful. He didn't know if that would be true. He asked for a sign. Wow. And the angel said, verse 19, I'm Gabriel. Hey, Gabriel, that one that appeared to Daniel. Yeah, Zechariah was familiar with that story. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. Hey, I'm with God all the time. I'm Gabriel. I have been with the people of Israel breaking good news. Is not that enough of a sign? Why you need more? Just wait a few weeks and you see your wife pregnant. Do you need a sign more than that? You see, he didn't have faith. And here we see a graceful God, a loving God. First, God answering their prayer, that's love. Hearing their prayer, that's love. God coming to them and giving a child, that's love. But God could say, okay, since you have not believed Zechariah, I turned my back away and you will not have a child anymore. Forget about it. But the graceful God said, you know what? Even though you didn't believe, I will still bless you. And that's the kind of God that you have, that I have. Even though we are imperfect, even though we don't have faith, God's still blessing us and be faithful to his word. And that's so crucial. Well, Zechariah asked for a sign, and the angel say, hey, if I'm here and it's not a good sign or it's not enough, you know what? I'll give you a sign. A physical sign. That what was he looking for? So he said, you will not speak. And that's what we see in verse 20. But now, since you didn't believe that I said, Gabriel said, you'll be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. God will continue to be faithful to his covenant, to his promises, and you need a sign. Here's a sign that I hope will help you to believe, to develop an experience with God. And my question, how many times God gives us so many evidence to us to believe in him, to trust on him, and we still don't believe and ask for more? That's so sad. But God is a loving God and continue serving us. And the report continues, verse 21 to 25 now. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he could not speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. He could not speak. And he didn't have the skills or train to communicate being a silent person. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Well, he finished his shift, then he goes back to his home. And verse 24, soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went to seclusion for 5 months. How kind the Lord is, she exclaimed. He has taken away my disgrace of having no children. The word of God came and was fulfilled. Elizabeth was pregnant. What a blessing. And we could spend some time here just seeing her reaction, right? Every time God appears to us, he takes our disgrace. Disgrace of sin, of the penalty of sin, disgrace of insecurity, disgrace of not knowing our purpose. When God comes to our lives, it should transform, to impact our lives. But for me, a main lesson that I'm taking from this account, this reading today, it is about having a real experience with God. Having information about him doesn't mean that I have an experience, a faith experience with him. And somehow I need to turn to this faith experience through a daily walk, knowing him and experiencing him in a genuine and a close way. And I want to challenge you to do that. Believe in God, because he's the God of the impossibilities. He can do everything. There's nothing that is impossible to God. And we need to pay attention to the work of God, where he has been working, where his hand is touching. We need to join hands where God is at work. And I know he's working your life right now. So you may ask, what's the purpose? What you're doing in my life? What do you expect from me? And surrender to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you because you have been faithful and have been a loving God. Thank you for the account of Luke, and special today, how you broke the news about the baby John to Zechariah. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to believe in your word, and help us to expect the impossible in our lives. Forgive our sins and give us a great day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I want to share with you some of the questions that I want to present to you so you can reflect throughout your day or think. Maybe you can journal, right? I know some questions may not be applicable to this account, but I think some are. And here are the questions for you to reflect. What is happening in this passage that we just read? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? In what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? Well, you have many options here to reflect and to think about it. I hope you are blessed today, and I hope you'll be joining us tomorrow as we continue the story of Jesus Christ according to the Gospel of Luke. We are trying to experience Him, have an encounter with Him, know Him. And I pray that through this process, you may have a faith that you can experience God in a close and genuine way. May God bless you, and I hope to see you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.